wants to quit, but I say, no, I'm going to keep going because he's coming someday. And someday all our heartaches and all our pains and sorrows, they're going to be forever gone. We're going to see people that have died. They're in heaven right now. We're going to see them again. And we're never going to have to say goodbye ever again. Oh, that's going to be some golden daybreak. It probably will be in the morning too, Tom. And I know you and Annie have a big thing over this evening or morning, but Tommy's saying, what's he talking about? I'll tell you after church. But anyways, I believe Jesus is going to come. I don't know morning, evening, or night. Amen. You're right. It's got to be morning somewhere. You're right. You can't go wrong, Tommy, because if it's morning, it'll be evening over there in Russia. And in any event, you can pretty much mark it. It's going to happen sometime during the day or night. Amen. But all depends where you live. The great thing is it's going to happen. And all the people that I think about, the Apostle Paul, he preached over 2,000 years ago. And Tawny, he literally thought Jesus was going to come in the day that he was living. Now it's 2,000 years later and preachers preaching. And Moses revived. Amen. And I still believe he's coming in my day. Billy Young, I think we're going to see it, Lefty. I think he's going to come in our day. I really do that. And alrighty, thank you for that song. It is one of my favorite songs. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Glad you're here tonight. God bless each one of you. Little Haley, she was doing phenomenal. I couldn't believe how she was getting around today in church. Just had that surgery Friday, but boy, she was doing tremendous. We're glad the Lord's helped her through that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Would you stand with me for the Word of God? I'm so glad to see each one of you tonight. Brother Eddie and Miss Liz are out of town. They're visiting their son Kenny and their grandchild, and so they're pretty excited about that. Grandma and Grandpa. And grandkids are tremendous. I saw Brother Roddy's grandchildren the other day. They're twins. And they're just Roddy Black made over, you know, Roddy and Charles, you know. And there's nothing. Those grandkids are just tremendous. I won't say nothing about their mom and dad, but I'll tell you, the kids are tremendous. Natalie, if I would have known you grandkids were so great, I would have made you guys first. Amen. And so, how you do that, Papa? She's the intellect. Let me think about how to do that now. But grandkids are so great. Amen. We thank God for them. All right. Would have had you first, not made you first. And notice ups and downs of leadership. I want to share a few things about Moses' life tonight with you and share a little things from my heart about our 16 years together. And I'm going to try to have us out here by 7 o'clock so we can go to the fellowship. We've got lots of food coming. We have plenty of food. Please come. We want you to just have some good time. I did it deliberately so we could be together. I know next week's the Labor Day weekend, and there'll be a lot of people out of town. I think they left this week. And maybe we'll be all together next week, but I didn't anticipate that, and so it's good to be together. I think we need to be together tonight just to encourage one another. Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. He led a flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountains of God unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." Boy, that's a good thing to say to God. See, it doesn't, he's looking for, he's not so much looking for talent. He's looking for availability. And he said, "Draw nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, from off thy place wherein thou standest on thy this holy ground." More, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. By the way, anybody would be. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry." See, if you don't, you might cry sometimes. You say, "Does God really know that?" He sees every tear that drops from your eye. He knows. He's, "And by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, for I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land that is under a good land, and a land a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression that wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come," verse 10, "come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. And I just pray that you'll bless tonight in these moments that we have together. I pray that I could put something in the young people's and the older people's heart that would encourage them. And also, Father, help them in the coming days as they lead in different areas of their life. Help us to be a blessing today, we pray in Christ's name. And Father, thank you for the 16 wonderful years. Probably the greatest 16 years of my life has been spent here in Ravenna, Ohio. Thank you, Father, for the blessing of these sweet people and precious people, loving people, kind and thoughtful. Thank you for the provision, the way they loved us and taken care of us. And I just pray your blessings on them tonight. And all of our church, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, for a few minutes, I want to share with you the ups and downs of leadership. On August 26, 1990, this church voted me in as your pastor. Thank you for putting confidence in me back then. And thank you for the confidence you still show for me. I was so amazed. People were still thanking me, even 16 years later today, walking out and saying, "I'm so glad you're my pastor. Man, I still got your food." Amen. But thank you for the wonderful 16 years we've had together. Then I thought about this, counting the approximately 9 years that I pastored in some of you don't know, but we started a church in Toledo, Ohio, called the Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's still there. Started in 1980, December 7th, 1980. And it's still there to this day. It's over 25 years old. The Lighthouse Baptist Church. Rose and I started it from nothing. Just me and my children and Rosie. And we started. And the first day we had 20, believe it or not, we had 22 in Sunday school. The very first service, and 26 in church. The very first service. And we went 6 months without ever having, we did not have a service without a first-time visitor, even Wednesdays, for the first 6 months. It's amazing. We had 100, within the first 3 months, Andy, we went from zero to 141 on Easter Sunday. Isn't that exciting? And God blessed, and we were so excited about it. And we pastored there for approximately 9 years. So if you take the 16 years at Bethel and the 9 years down on Galena Street, preacher's a pastor of a veteran of 25 years. Amen? Then on my birthday, March 22nd, when I was 21 years old, on a Wednesday night, a lay preacher was preaching in our church. Pastor Milton was out of town. And Brother Joe Helka was preaching. And just a lay preacher, wasn't a regular, just a good man, was a deacon in the church. And he loved the Lord. And I actually came forward and surrendered. I bawled, said, "I know God wants me to preach." And I was 21 years old that day at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Now it's called Faith Bible Baptist. And I was 21 years old when I surrendered to preach. Well, I'm 57. So that's 36 years, Josh. So I've had 36 years of preaching God's Word. 36 years of ups and downs. Amen. 36 years of experience. And I just want to give you a couple little thoughts tonight about leaderships. Leadership ups and downs. Amen. And I believe I could do that because, Roddy, I think I've been around for a little while. I've already passed a quarter of a century, and I'm heading close soon to a half a century. That's a little bit little experience. Amen. Half a century, 50 years. Amen. And kids are saying, what's a half a century? Like half a dollar, you know, 50. Anyways, before I start, I just want to say this. The pastorate is only one position of leadership. The pastorate is only one position of leadership. There's all kinds of leadership positions in your life. You don't have to be a pastor to be a leader. Are you with me? For instance, I'll just give a couple examples. If you're a husband, you're a leader. If you're a wife and a parent, a mother, a dad, you're a leader. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a Christian school teacher, you're a leader. If you're a bus driver, bus captain, usher, superintendent, deacon, you're a leader. And I could go on. If you're a union steward, you're a leader. I mean, listen, there's so many. Tiffy Brook, listen to Papa. Turn around, honey. Turn around. You caught my eye. That's rare that you catch that. So anyways, you in your positions in your walk in life, even though you might not have I have a title called pastor. You might not have a title, but you still are a leader. How many understand? Annie and Tom are my leaders in ABL Club. By the way, we're going Thursday. We're going to have a great day Thursday with 10 o'clock. And so, but they're leaders. And believe it or not, when they come, those people looked at Tom and Annie because they know those people are their leaders. They're counting on them. Did you know there's people counting on your leadership? Did you know there's people counting on your, Annie, on what, you're a leader to that young man that you're bringing to church. Believe it or not, Andy, he's looking at you and others are looking to you. Josh, your life affects other people. John, I'm telling you, you're a leader and your life affects other people. Can anyone say amen? Well, let me just give you, I think I wrote down 6 or 7. Let me just give you some thoughts here. Look at Exodus 3:10, the text. And Exodus 3:10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Number one, Moses was called of God to his place of leadership. John 1:6 says this, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I truly believe, Bobby, to be a successful leader, a person needs to be called of God. For instance, let me give you an illustration. I'll give you a couple because I'm looking back. When I started the church in Galena Street, I knew God wanted me to go there. I told people, I'm going to start a church on Galena. They'd say, what? Nobody would go down there in their right mind. I can't help it. That's where God told me. And then 9 years later, though, I was in a Baptist Bible Fellowship meeting. And I asked a man, hey, do you know any churches that are open? He said, I believe there's a church in Ravenna called Bethel Baptist Church. And I told you this story over and over, but it's the truth. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, right then at 12 noon on a Tuesday, the Lord just pricked my heart. I went home, and Tammy Lynn will tell you this, and David Richard. I went home and I told Rosie, I didn't know where Ravenna, Ohio was. Matter of fact, I called you Ravenna. And I went home and I said, Rose, get the boxes. Pack all your, we're going to a place called Ravenna, Ohio, and I'm getting my road atlas, and I'm going to see where God's taking us. Because I knew God's, I mean, it just went through my heart. I said, oh, my lands, that's where God wants me to be. God knew you needed a leader. He knew I needed someone to lead. Okay? And God brought me here. He called me. There's no. I remember Carl McDaniel standing back there at the back that night. He says, we know a lot about you, preacher. You don't know nothing about us. He was worried. I said, Carl, it doesn't matter. I know that God's called me here. I remember calling my preacher at that time that night, Roy Jones. He said, well, how much is your salary? And I said, you know, I don't know. I never asked him. Never even brought it up. But he asked me about 5 or 6 questions, D. And everything, I said, murder. I said, no, I don't know. He said, what's the, I don't know. He said, well, bless God, Brother Rich, what do you know? I said, I know God called me and brought me to Ravenna. I know for sure I'm supposed to be here. And I heard, Roy had a Roy chuckle. He just laughed. He says, amen, Brother Rich. That's all that matters. Number one, God calls leaders. I've been with preachers that were miserable. They were in the ministry and they shouldn't have been in the ministry because God never called them. I remember I went and preached a revival after I became the pastor when I was out in evangelistic. So I kept that meeting up in Michigan. And that dear preacher was a good man, a very good man. He told me one day, though, he said, man, I'm miserable. He said, I need about a 3-year sabbatical. I said, what? He said, I don't know if I'm really called. I said, oh, my. I said, that's one thing every man should know, that you're called, that you're right where God wants you to be. And so a leader, I believe God calls his leaders. I believe he puts them in the positions, in the place where he wants them to be. And by the way, you'll know it. And if you're a leader and you're in a place that you're not supposed to be, you'll know it also because you'll be miserable. Or if you're not supposed to be there just because you weren't called to do that, you'll be miserable also. And so, can anyone say amen? And see, God, Billy Turner, Brother Billy, young Billy, Billy Sunday, our preacher boy. There's 3 Billys. He came to me and said, boy, brother, he said, preacher, I really want a pastor. Pray for me. And when that church called from Lima out of nowhere and said, we're looking for a pastor. And it was our missionary, Brother Harold Pierce, that was on deputation that told him about me. Said, my preacher's got preachers in the church. He's got 3 or 4 preachers in his church. And they called me and said, Dr. Skyver, we need a pastor. And Brother Harold, the missionary, Harold Pierce said, you might have a preacher for us. I said, I've got a preacher for you. God's been preparing him. And we sent Brother Billy Turner. And look how God's blessed. That wasn't an accident. See, and Billy, Billy, I've never been in that church and had your son. And out of nowhere, they called us. See, you don't have to run people down. God knows where you live. We're talking about the ups and downs of leadership. Sometimes it's hard, though, to wait. Sometimes when you're waiting, it's hard. But if you'll stay faithful, God opens those doors. Amen? And so, number one, I believe God, in my heart, calls his leaders. I believe that. I believe he calls. The leadership is a place where God calls. And then, number two, those who God calls into leadership, he will equip and qualify that person for that position. Look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 12. Look at God called Moses. Look at Moses said to God. And Moses said to him, the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore since have spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In other words, he might have stuttered. Are you with me? Look at verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God said, don't worry about it, Moses. I'll make provisions for you. It's amazing. He said, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He can speak for you. When you study the scriptures, I never saw Aaron speak one time to Pharaoh. Moses was always letting it fly. Amen? See, there should be. When you get into leadership, and no matter what it might be, that it's good that you have a reverence and a little fear of what God's asked you to do. Because that's a great responsibility, and nothing, should, no matter what part of leadership is, should be taken lightly. Eddie and Misty, by the way, she celebrated last week. She's 24 years old, celebrated birthday. I think it was Monday. But what an awesome responsibility that the young Wilson couple here has with our young kids. That's a fun, Eddie, you just don't know how huge, the more you kids are in it, you're going to see how huge a responsibility. Probably one of the biggest responsibilities in the church is the teenagers. Pray for them. It's a huge responsibility. But any leadership, no matter what it is, should not be taken lightly. But a lot of people, God calls them to try to be in leadership. Well, I can't do it. I'm glad Annie and Tom didn't say no. I'm going to puff you up a little bit, but I think you're some of the most dynamic ABL senior citizen, Jolly 60, Happy Sunshiner, senior program people in all the country. Annie loves, and Tommy has his way, and Annie comes in and loves them too, and they're just a perfect blend, and they complement each other. What a dynamic we have. I wouldn't trade them for any couple in the country on senior citizens. They're just dynamic for God. They love them. They send them letters. They write to put the cards out there, and they just care for them. See, that God knew. I remember telling Brother Mike before Annie came, got right with God, and I said, Mike, your mother-in-law should be here. I got a senior program, and God told me they're supposed to run it. I guess one day Mike was cutting the grass, and Annie came by, and he stopped. He said, hey, my preacher said, you better get right with God. You're supposed to run that senior program. Thank you, Mike, for being a mouthpiece for me. And they came and God's, it's history now. But we just need to realize leadership, number one, we're called to it. Just didn't happen. Number two, in leadership, there's a responsibility and shouldn't be taken lightly. But God, if He calls you to do something, He will equip you to do it. I know to this, young people, if God ever asked you to do anything, don't worry. He wouldn't ask you if He didn't think you could do it. I can do exceedingly abundantly above all I think through Christ Jesus. Amen? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen? So, number three, you know, look at Moses. He was trying to get out of it. Don't argue with God. Don't argue with God. Just do it. Amen? Number three, even when you are in the will of God, not everything goes perfect for the leader or the followers. I thought about this and I gave you a couple of scriptures. I won't because it's already 5-7. But I thought of this. Sometimes the followers are mad at the leader. Because the buck stops here. Sometimes the leader's mad at the followers. Sometimes God's mad at both of us. We're stiff-necked rebels, amen? Notice, just for fun, look at Exodus chapter 15. Remember, Moses takes them out of Egypt underneath the hand of God? And boy, they're just a little, they're all happy. They sang a song. Man, they're praising God for, remember, by the way, when they left Egypt, kids, Moses took over 1 million people with him. And Levi, well, before they left, God said, go into every house that you want and take anything you want. I mean, all the money, all the jewels, all the gold rings, you name it. They end up drinking most of it. Because he melted down their coat. Because remember, they made a coat cap. But he said, you see, you say, why would God let them do it? Because all those years they worked in bondage and Egypt stole money from them. So God says, okay, you're going to pay back. Are you with me? So anyways, they have those 10 plagues, which are devastating. But they finally get out. And man, they're all excited. They sing a song and they're happy. And they're only just a few days out. Pick up with me Exodus 15:24. And the people murmured against Moses, what shall we drink? Let me see that. Look at 15:1 of Exodus. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. They're singing in verse 1. They're murmuring in verse 24. The same chapter. Just a day later. So to speak. How many are with me? Look at 16:1. Look at 16:1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all of the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, and after departing out of the land of Egypt. Was it second month? All right, so they're out of Egypt for 2 months. That's only 60 days. Hello? And the whole congregation of children of Israel, everybody, murmured against Moses. And Aaron, they got the associate pastor also. I'm glad those associate pastors get it too. They need a good sticking once in a while. Amen. It's always those worldly associate pastors that tear up the church. Aaron had made that golden calf. Moses had to come down and put everything back in order. Don't worry, my associate pastors will never mess up. I have a meeting with them the very first day before they become my associate. We have a face-to-face meeting in my office, and I tell them, and this is the truth, if you ever tear my church up, I'm going to kill you with my bare hands. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Anyways, I love my church. And he said, oh my, he hasn't talked to me yet. You're going to get your talking to. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding with you, Eddie. Notice, and I've already heard you, preacher. Notice, it's not nice to mess with Preacher Skyver. Thank God we have faithful and loyal preachers with me. More church, believe it or not, we've got the greatest preachers in our church in the country. A lot of people, there's a lot of them that tear up churches all over America. I'm telling you, I want to thank my men that are so loyal to us. It's so important. Amen? And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God, verse 3, we died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt. In other words, man, Moses, I don't know why we went with you. I don't know why we listened to you. We're worse off now than what we were. By the way, that's chapter 16, verse 3. Remember 15:1 and 15:2, 15:3, they're singing hallelujah. They're singing some golden daybreak. How many are still with me? And so we see that there's times when the people will love their leader. And you leaders, you have to realize this. There are going to be times when your people love you, and there's going to be times when your people don't appreciate you. Because when things go bad, the buck stops here. And when things are not right, people, they're sheep. Sheep are very easily roused up. The Bible calls us sheep. We're little lambs of God. Are you with me? Sheep are real finicky. You got to just keep it even keel there, or they get all nervous and run and flick, and they die real easy. Hello? Matter of fact, if they fall down, a lot of times I think it's called cast. I think it's cast something. They can't get up, and they suffocate and they die. Why the shepherd has to be there to make sure when they fall, the shepherd's got to be there to pick them up so they don't die. It's important to have a shepherd. It's important to have a shepherd that has a watchful eye. It's important to have a shepherd that has a caring heart. Just remember that. That's all in the leadership. Amen? I hope you're getting something out of this tonight. And so, then in Exodus 32... you'll see that Moses came down after from making getting the Ten Commandments from God, and boy, they made that golden calf, and I'm not going to turn to it, you know. But you can see he came down and he was mad, he was angry. Moses was violent. Moses had a temper. I don't know why people have tempers. But what I'm saying is this. I take a temper once in a while on a man's a good thing. Not, I really do. I think if a guy doesn't have a little bit of temper, he's a sissy. I think every man ought to have a little temper. And so, you're going to see sometimes where the followers are not real happy with the leader. And sometimes the leader is not happy with the followers. Are you with me? And you that are in leadership, you always need to know something. You need to care about your people in the good time and in the bad time. No matter how they feel about you, you've got to be Christ-like. You've got to love them, even if you're not, even though they don't love you back. That's so important of a leader. Your leadership for them should not depend on their love for you. It should be your love for them. Can anyone say amen? Then number four, real quickly, Exodus chapter 32. I should have probably had you turn to it. Exodus, there will be a day sometimes when the leader will call out to his followers to show if they will serve with him for the service of God. Sometimes I think the leader has to make his followers have a commitment. Notice Moses said in Exodus 32:26. By the way, in verse 19 it says, "And Moses' anger waxed hot; he was mad." Okay. Later on, verse 26, Exodus 32, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" Robert, once in a while, men of God, leaders for God, they have to go to the people and say, "All right, who are you? Who are you among us are on God's side?" Why do we do that? I believe it does this. I believe these days are when you call out your followers to stand for God, I believe these days are to strengthen both the leader and the follower for their commitment and service of God. When I see you stand for God, it blesses my heart. What makes a preacher real happy is to see people serve God. I noted this. You leaders, listen to me. Remember, commitment brings strength and brings stability. And there'll be times where a leader has to put a little pressure on his followers and say, "All right, it's time to commit. It's time to commit your life for the following of Christ." There'll be times for, and leadership demands that sometimes. Amen? There's not all the time, but there's certain times and different periods of time that has to be instituted to try to make people realize there's a commitment to being servants. Amen? And then number five, all leaders should have a vision where he's taking his people. Proverbs 29:18 said, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." You know, Moses was taking his people to the promised land. Every leader, no matter who they are, should have a vision and a goal. I want Brother David as a schoolmaster, principal of Bethel Baptist Academy, and I'm sure he does. I want him to have a goal, a dream, a vision of where he's going to take this school. I want our associate pastors I want us to have a vision of where we're going to take our church. You need to have a vision where you're going to take your family for your children, your grandchildren, and for their salvation, for their service for God. We need a vision. We need to say, we need to look out over the horizon and say, "I'm heading that direction. I have a goal." When I was a young boy, I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. Was called to preach when I was 21. Well, as a little young boy, I was always sports minded. I played a lot of sports. Couldn't nail a nail, but I could knock the ball 350 feet over a fence. I could run people over with a football, with a fullback. But I had a dream as a young. I even wrote about it as a freshman in high school. In the eighth grade, I had to write papers, and I wrote how I wanted to be a professional ball player. Mickey Mantle was number seven, was my favorite player. Didn't know nothing about number seven at the time. Seven's God's perfect number, amen? Mickey Mantle was my favorite player. And by the way, he got saved before he died. He got saved. Little Bobby Richardson led him to Christ. We're happy about that. Amen. A little second baseman for the New York Yankees. Anyways, I dreamed about being a Major League Baseball player. I was actually preparing to be a ball player. Men that coach Federation Baseball came to my dad and said, "We've never seen anybody like your son. He has the most natural left-handed swing, almost like Babe Ruth. We've never seen anything like it." There's scouts in this area. Why don't you take him to these scouts, the Tiger Scouts? We really believe he's going to be a professional ball player. I didn't end up being a professional ball player. I end up being far above a professional ball player. God worked it for good. But I'm going to tell you, I had a dream and I had a goal. I wouldn't want you to dream about being a baseball player. I might want you to dream about being a missionary or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a bus driver, something like that for God. Amen? I wouldn't be against you being a baseball player. These kind of prices, with salary, you could be good. Man, you can make a lot of money and tithe and help me build my building. Amen? I wish one of you guys would be a good golfer and make a lot of money like that Tiger Woods. Man, I need a Tiger Woods in this church. We need money to build. Amen? Hello? Notice, but I had a dream. I had a goal. I believe every leader should have a goal. I believe, Eddie, you and Misty ought to have a goal for your kids. You ought to have a dream for these kids' lives for the future. And get them all, if they're not saved, get them saved. And then get them spiritually trained and baptized and growing in grace. And maybe some going off to Bible college. We ought to have a dream for these kids. Amen. The Christian school is a part of a dream. We're shaping kids' lives. Amen. Bethel Baptist Christian Academy. Give me that logo, Dave. Can you? Yes. That's what it's all about. How many get it? Leaders should have a vision. Any leader that doesn't have a vision, I wouldn't give you too much for his leadership or her leadership. And by the way, everything rises and falls on leadership. Number six. Sometimes, even when there's a vision, delays may come. Right now, we're in a delay. For instance, Moses had a vision for the promised land. But for 40 years, all they did, here's what they did, kid. For 40 years, all they did was wander in the desert. By the way, for 40 years, their shoes never wore off. For 40 years, they just wandered in the desert, and after they ended up back in the same place. In other words, they kept going and going, and they were going nowhere. Yet they finally did make it to the promised land. Can I give you my heart? I really wanted to build bad this year. And I know now we're not. And it's like I'm in a wilderness right now. It's like Moses is taking you. And we just keep going from once. We're not getting anywhere. It's like we're going in circles. But don't dismay. See, a good leader will never take his eye off the promised land. Moses got him to the promised land. Amen? See, even when you're wandering, a good leader will never take his eye off the vision. He'll always keep the vision in front of him. I know I can't build right now because I don't have the finances. And sensibility and reality says that I have to count the cost before I build. But if we count the blessings, we're blessed with beautiful properties here. And we have the future there. We need to work. The Lord told me, hey, while you're wandering in the desert, try to get your school going good. Get your church built up some more. You need to do that. We got plenty of room to put people in here. Hello? Keep your people encouraged. Try to get that house paid off. The more we can get that house paid off, the more we can put in our new church building. Amen? So I'm looking at it a little bit different now. And it's helping me. I'm not as mad as I was. Amen? You got to put everything in perspective. But sometimes there are delays. But even in the delays, the leader should never lose his vision. And then number 7, I only got 8 of them. Good leaders will always be good followers first. Good leaders will always be good followers first. I was always a good follower. I was right there by my preachers. Anything my preacher wanted, I was right there. I know why God's blessed me with good people. He gave me back what I gave. But see, look up here, kids. You want to be a great leader? See, I believe God has a pool that He goes to the pool of His leaders. And God looks down and says, let me see those good followers. See, I believe God takes the followers that are good, the great followers for God, He takes them and makes them the leaders. You will never see a great leader that wasn't a great follower.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you're not a great follower, you'll never be a great leader. For instance, before I was ever a pastor, I never missed a church service. I came to every service, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. I tithed, I prayed, I read my Bible. And whatever the preacher said, I did it. I didn't want to even worry about being a preacher. I just wanted to be a follower for God. And God says, wow, that guy's such a great follower. I can really count on that guy to be there. I think I'll make him a leader. Hello? Great leaders, number 7, were always great followers first. You want to become a leader? Become a great follower. Can anyone say amen? And then number 8, the last one. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to close with this. I went a little bit longer. I really did want to shoot for 7 o'clock. I went over 15 minutes, but you guys said you know me 17 years, 16 years or so. You said, preacher, never happened. And it didn't. I didn't surprise you. It didn't. But I did try for it. I'm kind of like that. Some golden daybreak. Someday it'll end here. It'll come. Amen. The last thing I want to share with you is this. Leadership needs fellowship. Leadership needs fellowship to stand with them in all the battles. Always. I've noted, leadership needs fellowship to stand with them in every and all battles. I've been here for 16 years. We're starting our 17th year. 17 is a good number, by the way. One true living God. 7 is a perfect number. 1 and 7 is 8. That's a new beginning, by the way. 8 is a new beginning. There was 8 people in the ark. Noah. Salvation. God started a whole new thing with them. New birth. But I've been so blessed because you folks have been so good. Thank you for standing with me. I tell you this, and I know you don't understand. There's so many preachers in America that have to fight their churches constantly. They have to, not only do they have to battle the devil, they have to battle the people within. They have battles from without, but before they even battle them without, they got a battle within. You folks have always stood with me. You've made the battle so much easier. Thank you for helping me. I noted this. Look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. And I will close. Exodus 17, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said. By the way, Joshua was a great follower. When Moses was taken out, who was the next leader that God chose? I guess good followers make good leaders. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. Those were giants, by the way. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. Look up here, kids. As long as Moses kept his arms up where the people of Israel could see Moses, as long as they could see the man of God, the hand of God on the man of God, they won the battle. But the moment his arms were let down, they didn't sense the presence any longer, and they lost the battle. Look at what it said there in verse 11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed, the enemy. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In other words, God gave them Israel victory. Because Aaron and Hur, what they did, they stayed one on one side. Come here, two boys, come here. You want to be Aaron or Hur? Aaron, okay, Hur. He'd rather be a him, though, wouldn't he? Hold on, hold my arms up. Aaron and Hur, as they stood up, as Moses stood on top of the mountain, and so his arms got heavy, but Aaron and Hur, they put big stones underneath, and then they supported him. And all during the battle, they kept his arms up. They stood with him. They supported the man of God. And see, the people saw the strength from the man of God. And God gave him the victory in the battle. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron and Hur. And that's what you have done the last 16 years here. Thank you, Bobby. I could call every one of your names. Thank you, Brother Jack. Thank you, everyone, for 16 years. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Brother Mel. Thank you, Freddie. Thank you, Brother Brent. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, every one of you. Thank you for holding my arms up, Rod and Robert. For 16 years, you've held my arms up. You ladies did too. Thank you. And I think we've won a lot of battles, Dee, because you folks stood with me. And together we won the battle. You see, it takes everyone. Mike Porter just gave me this truth when I first came here. I'll never forget it. Didn't know it until he gave it to me. I should have known it as much as I played sports. He said, "Preacher, we got to be a team here at Bethel." Remember how disoriented, how discouraged we all were when I first got here, how distracted, how everybody was just tore up. He said, "We got to be a team." T-E-A-M. I'll never forget it. State of my heart deep. Together, everyone accomplishes much. And so what we did, we kind of got all together and we worked as a team. We had our first vacation Bible school and we saw hundreds come. Then we saw more, hundreds and hundreds more come. I remember Mike Porter saying, "Preacher, I can't believe it. You had 95% of the people out there, and the guy before you, he would have killed for 15 people. Yet those people all came out for you." They didn't do it for me. They did it for God. But I'm glad they did it for me with the help of Christ. Amen. I want to close with these words. We have a lot of we've had a lot of battles in the last 16 years. We have, haven't we? You've stood by my side for 16 years and you've held my hands up for God. Most preachers have never had the support like you give me. I'm telling you, the ministry, this church is an above average church. I'm telling you, it's above average in many ways. I'm not saying that just to me. I'm telling you, this is an above average church. It's above average in loving. It's above average in caring. It's above average in giving. It's above average in standing with the preacher. I'm telling you, this is an above average church. I'm telling you, I've been in lots of churches all over America. This church is an above average church. I'm telling you, it is. The people here are real. They really care about one another. You've stood by my side for 16 years. And you've been such a blessing to me. And as I want to thank you for those 16 wonderful years. And not have you stood by me, but you love me and bless me and always care about me and pamper me. God bless you for doing that. And as I begin my 17th year as your leader, as I can put it, your Moses, let me say these last words to you. The battles are not over. There are still more mountains for us to climb. There's still a lot of storms that we're going to have to ride out. There's still more giants, Davey, that we've got to fight. Matter of fact, I think Miss Murth are going to be bigger. The ones in the future will probably be bigger than the ones we've conquered in the past. Ruthie, I think we're going to have larger storms in the future tomorrows than what we've had in the yesterdays have gone by. We've not made it to the promised land yet. And the war still wages on. Look at verse 10. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. How many see that? In verse 10. My hair is not dark brown or black now. It's gray. When I came here in 1990, I stood on top of the hill with you with some nice looking dark hair. Amen. And a little thinner body, like about 80 pounds less on my body. And I'm trying to work back to get that back there where it was. And I have a real goal to do it too. And I'm gonna win. I just want you to know something. I'm going into my 17th year, Bobby. Now you have a gray-headed pastor and an older man than a younger kid. But I want you to know, I'm still on the hill. I'm still standing on the hill. And I still got my hands up for God. And Betty and Jimmy, I need you more now. Annie and Tommy, from the depths of my heart. Brenda, Carl, and you name you. I need you more now in 2006 to stand with me. Because my arms are heavier now than what they were in 1990. Brian, I need you and your precious wife to hold my arms up now. More than I ever did 16 years ago. And so I say to you, let's keep going forward. I see the promised land. It's out there. Let's keep pressing forward. I want you to know the old man's on the hill. And I'm still standing. And Moses was standing on the hill. I've not left you. I'm still standing. And I'm still ready to fight the battles. I'm still willing to wage the wars. But I need you more than ever. In our 17 years, Annie, coming up, I need you and Tommy to help me more this year than you did last year. Robert, I need you and Tawny. I mean that. Deborah and Roddy, I could call every person here. I need you more now. The old man on the hill needs you more now than he ever did before. And we can still win. I think there's great victories ahead. Let's just stay as a team. We did for 16 years. Let's keep the team together. And just keep holding my arms up. Andy, if my arms get heavy, you and Josh run and hold them up. Because I need you to help me win for God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful... Lord, our life goes by so fast. 16 years. It seems like I just came here as a young kid. Although I was 40 years old when I came here. And it just seems like it's been a day, just a few days since I've been here. And Lord, we went through a lot of heartaches and hardships and battles, getting bills paid and conquering things that had to be conquered here. Now, Lord, we've got even greater giants. Oh, I think we've got our hearts back. I think we've got our testimony back for our church. I think we've got a lot of things in place for our church that was out of place. Now we need to move forward again. I'm standing on the hill. Please, let these people see that the man of God still needs them to stand with him. Matter of fact, I need him more now than I ever needed him before. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,